Life Point Church. Good morning. Welcome to what we have now officially dubbed as Life Point Online. And first off, I just want to say, man, a huge thank you to each of you that joined us last week, or to those that have watched either on YouTube or back on Facebook or on our website throughout the week. Man, you all are incredible. The engagement that's come from it has been awesome. And especially those of you that created watch parties. I mean, it's just incredible how our community has been able to stay connected and together and doing life together, even in the midst of all this. So it's been truly amazing to sit back and watch. And man, I just want to say thank you so much for being a part of this and continuing to join us and be a part of Life Point Church now that we're temporarily online. So, but as I noted last week, we're going to be live on Facebook. Obviously, right now we're live. So go ahead and create that watch party and get some of your friends in and see if they can check out Life Point. It's just a great opportunity, a great way to begin to connect with them and connect them to Life Point. And also get in that comment section. Feel free to engage with each other, interact. I mean, this is one of the reasons why we're doing this live, is so that we can still be a community. We're just doing so online. And also, if you have friends or family that you know that aren't on Facebook, we will be posting this each week on YouTube and on our website as well. So make sure you let them know that. And if you're watching it after the fact, go ahead and jump down in those comments sections as well. You can put anything in there. If you want prayer requests or prayer needs, or just want to connect and engage or know more about Life Point, that's just a great way to do that in the comment sections, and we'll make sure that we get back with you. But today, we're going to go ahead and jump right in, and we're continuing on with our current series and conversation on the life of Jesus. And this is our fourth week, and we're going to wrap it up next week with talking about how Jesus lived a life of focus. And we'll get to that next week, but today we're continuing on this journey. And what we're doing in this series, if you're brand new to us, and this is the first time you're seeing or hearing this series, is we're going through the life of Jesus, and we're looking at it, and we're seeing all these beautiful and unique characteristics and attributes of his life. And so we're exploring those and discussing them, because the reality is if we're going to call ourselves Christ followers, if we're truly going to be believers, then we actually have to put into practice what we say we believe, right? We have to model our lives after the life of Jesus. So therefore, we have to know how he operated. We have to know how he functioned, the things that he did, the things that he didn't do. We have to truly understand his life so that we can actually model it. Or as we've been wording it in this series, that was so beautifully kind of crafted by my 13-year-old daughter, is that we have to live it, don't script it. You see, a lot of us who claim to be Christ followers, we can talk all day long about who Jesus was and about his life and about religion, but very few of us at times, unfortunately, actually get out there and live it. And that is what people long to see. They want to see us live it and not just script it. And so that's really kind of the focus of what this series has been. And so far, we've seen that Jesus, then we're looking at the life of Jesus, that he lived a life of passion and compassion, which we talked about in the first 2 weeks. If you joined us last week live on Facebook, we talked about how Jesus lived a life of confidence, completely devoid of fear, and how we definitely need to be modeling and living that during this current time. But today we're also going to see that Jesus lived a life of balance. And I think this is so incredibly important for us today, because if we're being completely honest, each of us would probably have to say, man, my life is not really balanced. Like, I really struggle with balance. You see, many of us fall into these categories of extremes. I like to refer to it as the pendulum swing. And I think when you look at life, there's so much that's going on with this pendulum swing. But when our life's not balanced, we get in these extremes. And sometimes we're either like super cautious or we're super reckless, right? We're very generous or we're kind of stingy. We're focused or constantly distracted. See, there's no balance. We're either hyper goal oriented and we would do anything and everything and our whole world revolves around that goal, or we're just kind of wandering aimlessly through life, right? We're either really hard workers, constantly going, constantly trying to go the extra mile, or at times we just say, hey, I'm just trying to survive. I'm just trying to make it through life with as little effort as possible. We fall into these extremes, and if we're going to truly live a life like Jesus, if we're going to be effective in the mission that we each have of telling others about Jesus and living it out, we've got to follow Jesus' lead and live a life of balance. The Oxford Dictionary defines balance, and I love this, as an even distribution of weight, enabling someone or something to remain upright and steady. And in order for our lives to remain on track, right, for us to be and do all that God has created us to be and do, we need balance. We have to be upright and steady. You see, the thing about balance is that any one area of our life being off kilter throws everything out of whack. If we're too far this way and not enough this way, we're not steady, we're not upright, and we're not going to be as effective as we could be. And then that imbalance creates a plethora of issues. We see exhaustion, being ineffective, short-tempered, right? Being taken advantage of at times. Maybe we're poor with our finances as a result, or we're missing out on time with our families. Maybe more importantly, we're missing out on time with God because our life is off balance. Honestly, it's the reason why a lot of people who claim to be Christians don't actually live it. You see, they get their spiritual life off balance. They get so fixated and hyper-focused on studying religion and theology and studying scripture. That's all they focus on, so much so that they forget that they have to actually go out and live it. Now, don't hear what I'm not saying. Studying theology, if that's your jam, do it. Studying scripture is so important because, you know, we kind of actually need to know what we believe and why we believe it. But it has to always be followed with action. You've got to balance it out. We have to be steady and upright. You see, that's why a lot of people don't live it, because they get off kilter one way or another. That's why James says faith without works is dead. It's a balance between faith and works. So again, if we're going to live upright, steady, effective lives, we've got to find balance. And again, as we look in scripture and at the life of Jesus, we see that he is the model for balance. It's who he was. And so for our time today, we're going to look at just a couple examples of how Jesus lived out a life of balance. And the first thing that we're going to see is that Jesus carefully balanced both being gentle and being fierce. He was gentle and fierce. Not too much one way or the other. He was gentle and fierce. Jesus was loving, caring. He's got this little bing going on with as I'm hitting points. You like that? But he was loving. He was caring. He was extremely passionate. He was meeting the needs of people. And every time he did it with this gentleness that was so beautiful. I think one of the greatest examples of this is found in Mark 10. Where we find that some parents were bringing their kids to see Jesus. They wanted their kids to be in the presence of the Son of God and for him to pray over them and to bless them. And so they brought their kids to see Jesus. And the disciples, man, they were kind of like, whoa, whoa, hold up. Like, wait a second here. Like, do you know who this is? This is Jesus, the Son of God. He's way too busy for your little kid. He's way too busy for that. But Jesus, man, that wasn't what he was about. See, because he was gentle. And he stopped the disciples. And he said this, and we're going to pick this up in Mark chapter 10, verse 14. And he said this, Jesus responded, "Let the children come to me. Don't stop them, for the kingdom of God belongs to those who are like these children. I tell you the truth, anyone who doesn't receive the kingdom of God like a child will never enter it." Then he immediately lived out what he had just said. Verse 16, it says, "Then he took the children in his arms." He took the children in his arms and he placed his hands on their heads and he blessed them. He was gentle. In order for a little kid to feel comfortable to come up to someone, that individual has to have a presence of safety and gentleness. See, he demonstrated being gentle. Then in Matthew chapter 11, verse 29, Jesus himself, while he was teaching some people, he said this. He said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." See, Jesus even described himself as being gentle. That's what he was about. But what we also see when we read scripture and we look at the life of Jesus, that he was also incredibly passionate. Especially when it came to being passionate about standing up for the truth, right? That's what we talked about in week two. And in order to do that, at times, he had to stand up with a fierceness, right? He was fierce at times. And there's no better example of Jesus being fierce than what we find in John chapter 2, starting in verse 13. And I'm sure you're all familiar with this story, but it says this, and starting in verse 13, "It was nearly time for the Jewish Passover celebration. So Jesus went to Jerusalem. In the temple area, he saw merchants selling cattle, sheep, and doves for sacrifices. He also saw dealers at the tables exchanging foreign money." So what did Jesus do about this? It says Jesus made a whip from ropes and chased them out of the temple. Dude, he was fierce. He drove out the sheep and the cattle, and he scattered the money changers' coins all over the floor and turned over the tables. Then going over to the people who sold the doves, he told them, "Get these things out of here. Stop turning my father's house into a marketplace." He was disgusted at what he saw happening in his father's house. That there was all this going on that was not what it was about. And he stood up for truth. He stood up for what was right. He was focused on the kingdom, and so he did so with a fierceness. Dude made a whip. He's driving people out, right? Flipping over tables, scattering money all over the place. He's like, "No, we're not doing that here." He was fierce, but he was also gentle. There was a balance. He wasn't always fierce, but he wasn't always gentle. He was steady. He was upright. And that's how we have to live our lives. As we continue to explore the life of Jesus, we find that he both demonstrated and taught balance in an area that we probably need it the most. In 2020, man, we have to have balance in this area. And it's that Jesus balanced both the grind and rest. He balanced the grind and rest, the balance between being on the grind, always working, you know, always trying to achieve the next big thing and always being on the go. He balanced that and rest. And if I'm being honest, for me personally, man, this has been one of the greatest struggles and imbalances in my life. You see, for the past, I don't know, 10, 15 years, ever since graduating from high school, like I immediately jumped into the like go mode. It was constantly on the grind. It was nonstop. I wore so many different hats and I wore them all at the same time. And sometimes it was out of necessity. But other times it was just because of my personal inability to say no to something. And so what happened is over time, I found myself way out of balance, way out of whack. And as a result of this, it had a negative impact on my life. It started to have a negative impact on my marriage, on my parenting, on my relationship with God, as well as with my in my relationship with myself. Like I couldn't even think. And what had happened was, is I had become so used to a life of busyness and chaos and exhaustion that it was kind of normal. Like I didn't know anything different. I didn't even realize how out of balance I was because of so many years of just being on the go and on the grind. And that was not healthy. And it wasn't until I began to rest, began to start to find balance, that I realized how toxic it was in my life. Now, is there a season where you have to be go, go, go? Like you're always working hard, you're putting in the hours and you're on the grind. Yeah, there's always seasons like that. And there's going to be seasons like that. But we have to understand that it should always be followed by a season of rest. And that's where we struggle. That's where we tend to throw up our walls, because for those of us, if you're like me and you're kind of that workaholic, when you think of rest, sometimes you think of laziness, or you think you're not being effective, or you know that there's something else to be done, or there's something new that you can create, or there's something that you need to do. And so your mind never slows down and you never rest. But the reality is when you're like that, you're imbalanced. You're not steady. And you're not going to be as effective as you could be if you found a better balance between the grind and rest. It's something we have to find. And kind of what's crazy right now is we're all kind of being forced to rest. Now, I know some people are still on the grind and they're actually probably working more hours and working harder than they ever have. Some of our grocery store workers and our nurses, people in the medical field, our police officers, fire, rescue, EMS, those people. And man, I say thank you so much for what you do. But some of us in other career paths, we're at home. Or we're at home with our kids and we're being required to rest. And it feels so foreign and we don't like it. But I want to challenge you to take advantage of this. Allow this to be your practice for rest. Because I'm telling you, you need it. And if you don't think you do, and you think you're good, and you can just keep going and going and going, and it's not affecting you, I'm telling you right now, you're affected. And you don't know it. You don't realize it because you're so distracted with achieving and doing and working. You need to rest. And again, Jesus was the perfect example of this, because he was more busy and had more on his plate than any of us could ever imagine. You see, when we look at Mark chapter 1, in the very beginning of the book of Mark, starting in verse 21, we find that what we've come to know is kind of a typical day for Jesus in his life once he started his earthly ministry, which was he was started the day off in the synagogue, like he was teaching, right? While he was there, we see this in Mark, that a guy that was possessed with an evil spirit came to him, and so Jesus cast out that evil spirit. And then from there, he goes and to the house of Simon and Andrew. And when they get there, he finds that Simon's mother-in-law was sick. So not only was he teaching there, he's going over to his disciples' home, and then he finds that his mother-in-law is sick. So needless to say, he's had a pretty huge eventful day. And then he goes, and then he begins to heal more people. So he heals the mother-in-law. And then from there, we're going to pick up the story in verse 32. So Mark chapter 1, starting in verse 32. And it says, that evening after sunset, so this was after a full day in the synagogue, teaching, healing people, healing mother-in-laws. It says, at that evening after sunset, many sick and demon-possessed people were brought to Jesus. The whole town gathered at the door to watch. So Jesus healed many people who were sick with various diseases, and he cast out many demons. From start to finish, that whole day was filled with teaching and healing and casting out evil spirits. It's what he did all day long. He was on the grind, mission-driven, focused on what he was sent here for. But he struck balance. The very next verse, in verse 35, we see that Jesus begins to demonstrate rest. It wasn't all go, go, go. It was a busy day. It was a crazy day. But check out what he does. Verse 35, before daybreak the next morning, Jesus got up, went out to an isolated place to pray. He made it a point to get away and get alone with God. He was practicing mental, physical, and spiritual rest because he knew it was important. He knew he needed balance. Even it's the next verse, 36, says later Simon and the others went out to find him. When they found him, they said, "Hey, everyone's looking for you." You think Jesus knew that? Of course he knew that. He knew that they were all looking for him. He knew that he was probably going to have another full day of doing what he was sent there to do. So it was critical for him to get away, get alone, and rest physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. He needed to rest. We have to find balance in our lives. We've got to. So what about you? That's my big question for you this morning. Can your life be described as a life of balance? In all areas? Or are you off-kiltered somewhere? Is the weight distribution off somewhere that you really need to find that balance once again? Man, this is so critical because I believe that one of the things that's wreaking havoc on our society and our culture and in our lives today is an imbalance. We're exhausted. We're not who we've been created to be. We're not as effective as we could be if we could really find balance. And again, in the midst of this crisis that we're in and this global pandemic, state of emergency, you know, we have, you know, we're being mandated to stay at home, encouraged to self-quarantine at times, depending on what we got going on, or definitely social distancing. We have all this going on. In reality, we need to take advantage of this time and find balance. It's a crazy, crazy time, but I promise you, God works all things for good for those who love him. And there are so many good things that can come out of this. We just have to switch our mindset. We have to have a different perspective. And in order to do that, a lot of times, we need to strike balance. So if you call yourself a Christ follower, and you want to live a life like Jesus, I promise you, you have to begin to find balance. And now is the perfect time to practice it. Be committed. Find balance. Let's pray. God, we once again come to you, and we're just so thankful again for this platform and this technology that you allow us to have in such an interesting, unprecedented time, God, that we as LifePoint Church and as believers can still continue to gather together. Just doing so via the internet. And we're so thankful for that, that we can do life, whether we're physically present or we're in our own homes. And God, as we work through your word today and we hear your voice, God, may we model your son Jesus in his practice of living a life that's balanced. Whether we need to be a little more calm or a little more fierce at times, find that balance, or we need to work a little harder, or we need to rest more, or if there's some other area in our life that's off balance. Maybe it's we care too much about what other people think about us, or maybe maybe we don't care at all. We've got to find balance. And God, we pray that you would help each of us to do that. So Lord, I pray that you would bless my friends that are watching today, our family, our LifePoint family, and those that maybe this is their first time checking out LifePoint. God, I pray that you would bless them. I pray that you'd speak to them. And I pray that you would keep us all safe and healthy during this time, and that we could see the good that you're doing in this moment, in this time. 2020 has been a wild ride so far, but God, we know that you're doing something amazing. And we thank you for that. And it's your name we pray. Amen. Well, again, as we wrap up, I just want to say again, thank you so much for hanging out with us this morning. Thanks for being with us. Thanks to those of you that have been interacting in the comment section. I'm just so, so thankful. If this is your first time checking out LifePoint and you want some more information, go ahead and drop a comment in there. I'll definitely get back in touch with you, or you can send a DM. We'll get back in touch with you for sure. Or if you have prayer needs or any other needs, if you have physical needs right now, let us know that. We want to be able to serve and love you the best that we can. Man, we're all in this thing together. We've got to have each other's back. So let us know that again. You can drop that in the comment box or give me a shout. I'd love to hear about it. Love to pray with you and love to help you meet those needs the best that we can. Also, if you want to know more about what it takes to have a relationship with Jesus, to connect with him personally, go ahead and send me a direct message and we can start a dialogue and chat about that. Love to talk with you more about that. And then finally, if you call LifePoint Church your home, and it's only speaking to people that call LifePoint Church home right now, and you are giving biblically through your tithes and your offerings, I want to encourage you to continue to do that. And you can do that online. You don't have to do that in person. You can just go to our website. It's lpc502.com. Again, that's lpc502.com. And once you get into the site, in the top right-hand corner is a button that says Give Online. Click it. Takes you to a safe and secure place where you can give. And we encourage you to be faithful in your giving so that we can continue to reach more people with the good news about Jesus and be able to love and meet more needs. So again, if you call LifePoint Church home, go ahead and join us in giving biblically. Again, thank you all so much for being a part of LifePoint Online. Again, this is where we're going to be for the foreseeable future. And I'm actually personally really excited about it. So I think God's going to continue to use this and bless this. So thank you for being a part of it. Again, share this. If you have friends that don't have Facebook, let them know about the YouTube or our website. And things are going to only get better from here. And God is in control. And so we don't have to be worried. We know that he's got this. So until we see each other again, I love you guys. Thank you so much for being a part of LifePoint Church. And wash the hands, as I always say. Wash them up good. Wipe down those doorknobs. Love you guys. We'll see you next time.